Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And I am Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
It's wonderful to be back. It always is. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, in April of this year, yes, in April indeed, we had the good fortune to attend the Homeopathy UK Gala, and this was an event bringing homeopaths together just to celebrate the beauty of homeopathy, and it was actually in the World Homeopathy Awareness Week, so beautiful indeed, and Nyla and I were guests there, and we met so many homeopaths, and we bumped into Dr. Samantha Jugdev, who is not only a dentist but also a homeopath. Yes, indeed she is. I would actually say here, smile, you're on the Homeopathy Health Show, woohoo! But it was an absolute pleasure. And we got talking, of course, Nyla and I, to Dr. Samantha Jugdev, and here we are.
Dr. Samantha Jugdev is a general dental practitioner based in Oxfordshire, UK. She started taking an interest in complementary therapies and their value in dentistry when she realized that patients were making varied choices in their care of their own health, which is absolutely amazing. She gained membership of the Faculty of Homeopathy in 2015, and shortly after this, she was invited to join the teaching team at the National Center for Integrative Medicine, NCIM, and gradually increasing her involvement to developing their online courses.
She is now actually the education lead for homeopathy with NCIM and sits as their representative on the Faculty of Homeopathy's Academic and Examining Board. That was really hard to get all those words out, but I've got it there. She's also the chairperson of the British Homeopathic Dental Association and was awarded fellowship by the Faculty of Homeopathy. Wow, brilliant.
And she says, lots of patients seek me out because I offer homeopathy alongside dental care. My practice of homeopathy is restricted by my dental registration to what conditions I can treat as a dentist. However, this still gives me a huge scope as the mouth is a window onto the health of the rest of the body. And how true is that? My students are all healthcare professionals and veterinary, and I love guiding them through the start of their homeopathy journey. Welcome.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much. It's very exciting to be here.
Yeah, so with all the teeth that we have in our mouths, welcome. Because we're smiling.
Yes, smiling is so important.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to have you on. Thank you for connecting as well. And that gala, we were just talking offline, weren't we? It was a really nice opportunity for homeopaths to come together, right? And share experiences.
And a really positive buzz as well, because it's too easy to feel alone out there, and then when you connect with so many people who are equally passionate, it was really magical evening, and it was great to connect with both of you as well.
It's always amazing to connect with like-minded people, and hey, we are homeopaths and we celebrate just like everyone else, and we celebrated homeopathy and we got in touch with each other, and here we are with Dr. Samantha Jugdev. Samantha, you mentioned that you were in army before you came into normal life.
That's right.
Normal life, yeah.
So when I was at dental school, I managed to get a cadetship with the army. So I started my career in the army. So it was certainly interesting. But the beauty is I only ever planned to do 6 years in the army, and then my husband and I always planned to set up our practice, which is now in Oxfordshire. So it was so the in the army, they obviously, it's a very unique living experience, and it is the whole life. So they do give you nice packages and opportunity to spend money on training, so that when you come out of the army, you can rehabilitate yourself into civilian life. So this was an opportunity where I had some funding to do some interesting courses that would be useful to my practice when I came out of the army. And at the time, my mum had just started seeing a homeopath. I don't think it helped her, so I was very, very skeptical. But I thought, well, my patients are going to be like my mum. They're going to be similar ages, similar backgrounds. So if my mum's choosing homeopathy, the chances are that my patients will be choosing homeopathy. And actually, in the army, I did have a patient who had come in to see me, and he had a big, fat, swollen face. One of his wisdom teeth had flared up. And so the usual thing was to give him, antibiotics and Corsodil mouthwash, send him away, get him back in a week, and just check that everything had worked. And he said, "Well, actually, I don't want your antibiotics. I'm going to use homeopathy." And it's like, well, it's your mouth. You're the one that's in pain. It's not me. And if you want to use whatever, but I'm still going to see you in a week and just see if it works. So he used gunpowder, which actually is a great remedy for army people. It's used in all of our, all of our weapons and blowing things up. But also, you look at it as a remedy, and it's associated with gangrene and these horrible war wounds that get really septic, which actually is what we normally see around wisdom teeth when they get infected. So actually, it was, now I know what I know. I can see it as a great simillimum. So it's like, right, well, I tell you what, you don't have, I can't force you to take the antibiotics, go away. Let's see what happens. So he came back and he said that actually he'd had a week of no pain. And it's like, well, actually that's fine. You can live your life, can't you? I thought it still looked just as swollen and just as red, and so I wasn't convinced. So I came to homeopathy from a pure skeptic point of view. It's like, how can this possibly work? It's got to be a load of rubbish. But if my patients are using it, I have a duty to them to actually know what they're using and why they're using it. At least then I can tell them that it's a load of rubbish. So I started the course, which was run by the Bristol Homeopathic Dental Hospital, which has been through various, evolutions, and his course is now the National Centre for Integrative Medicine, which is where I now teach. So I turned up with great enthusiasm because I just love learning and I love being open-minded to new things. And on the first day, they gave us a little box of these homeopathic remedies, and they said, right, the only way to learn this is you've got to go away and use them. And we've been given a dental specific box. So I went back to my practice. So I'd started learning. It's like, actually, this is really interesting, and I can see how this can fit into dentistry. And I had, it was one, I got pregnant before I left the army, and one of my last patients I saw. And I was working in Bovington, which is in Dorset, which is a tank regiment, and they do all of their training there. So most of my patients were 18-year-old boys. And they're not the brightest bunch, but I have a real soft spot on my heart because they're really genuine people. They've often had a hard life up until this point. They've never seen a dentist, most of them. They live off Lucozade and kebabs and chips, bad diet, lack of sleep. They're stressed. They drink a lot. They smoke a lot. And what I used to see when I was in the army with these young lads, was that they get this really, really nasty gum infection, which is called acute necrotizing ulcerative gingivitis. Its nickname is actually trench mouth because it was rife in the World War I trenches, and it stinks. It smells like a farmyard. So you can diagnose it before they've even entered the building. So I used to sort of greet them at the top of the stairs with a prescription for metronidazole and say, go away and take this. And so I saw this young lad on Friday afternoon, and he'd got really, really bad ulcers. So it was typical Merxol. It was stinky. There was loads of saliva. The ulcers were sort of green and pussy, and it was just destructive, real syphilitic. It was horrible. And it's like I'd had several in that week. So it was like, okay, so I could give him the metronidazole. But bearing in mind it was a Friday afternoon and they all go down to Weymouth drinking on a Friday. So it's like, well, this hasn't just happened overnight and he wasn't particularly in pain with it. So I could actually just give him a homeopathic remedy and then see him again on Tuesday. And then if the homeopathic remedy, bearing in mind I was a skeptic at this time, it won't work, whereas I'll give him the remedy and then I can see him on Tuesday and I can give him the metronidazole on Tuesday when he's more likely to avoid the alcohol. So I gave him Merxol in a 30C because that was in my books. I gave him one there and then because I didn't know whether he would take it. I gave him enough for the rest of the weekend to take three times a day, and I saw him again on Tuesday. So when I saw him again on Tuesday, all of the ulcers, apart from one, had healed up. The one that was left was nearly healed. And even on metronidazole, I'd never seen anything like that. They've improved, but they've never healed up that quickly. I saw him on Friday, and by Tuesday, it had virtually gone. There was no bad breath. He was comfortable. I managed to give him a full clean with lots of water, and the machine vibrates, and he was completely comfortable. And I thought, wow, I've only been doing this for 3 months, and it gives this result. And then, of course, I passed my LFHOM exam at the end of that year, and it was like I have got to know more of this. And I used it during my first labour and after giving birth. And then it's like I need to know more. So then I went on to do my MFHOM, and now I'm where I am now.
Wow,
Amazing! I got
that is a brilliant story, isn't it? Yeah.
goosebumps there.
That is that's a really inspiring story, actually. It's
Yeah.
so good, huh?
And it's really good to have cases like that because when you do have doubts and you have low periods or you've got somebody it doesn't work, you can go back to those cases and go, I know it works.
I know it works. It's not the remedies, it's something I'm missing.
Yes.
It's something I'm missing or I am not getting out of the patient. This reminds me of how I started homeopathy. I was like, it's just first aid. I'll use it because my mom used it. And I did my first training was a 1 year course, a small course, a first aid course, and before I had my first child, and then I went on and trained in from Germany for in a 1 year course, and then had a small kit that I used with my kids and was giving it to my friends, family. Oh, you can take this, take that. I never thought that the healing could be so deep and impactful. It was like known. Yeah, it's going to help. Just arnica is going to help with the bruise anyway. But this is coming from a skeptical point of view. It's
Yeah.
so fascinating to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've not been a skeptic since, obviously.
It is the power, isn't it? It's the literal power. I always we, when we're talking about homeopathy, we always say there's always this thing about where's the science, blah blah blah. But the real life, real time, real world clinical trials are taking place with hundreds and hundreds of or thousands of homeopaths around the world, right? With each and every patient they see. It's brilliant. That's the proof,
Yeah. And there is more and more evidence. When they say there's no evidence, that's not true either. And you look at what the HRI are doing and what's published in homeopathy, and this is real science. It's amazing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, Whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we don't have to fight because there is no fight.
Yeah.
We can all work together simultaneously to help everyone. Like, it can take the burden off the doctors, the dentists, yep, even the A&E. Everyone is overstretched.
Mm.
And if we can just divide those cases where they actually just have to prescribe paracetamol and they can't do anything else, just send them, or even psychiatry case. There's so much out there. If we just incorporate everything into the healthcare system, that can be of so much benefit. Again, I'm going off tangent because that's something very, very close to me. I feel like, why? Why do we always have to bring a fight where it doesn't belong?
Exactly. And actually, in dentistry, homeopathy sits alongside everything we do conventionally. So I don't do unusual dentistry. I mean, I do have patients that, you know, hope that I can do something with homeopathy. But at the end of the day, if they've got decay or a tooth broken down, you know, or they've got gum disease, I've got to do the normal dentistry.
Yeah.
But the beauty of homeopathy is it just, you know, it just goes in alongside. So I can treat the deeper stuff. But actually, most of what I'm doing is the acute stuff. So, you know, it's either arnica when I'm taking a tooth out, but I use a lot of Traumeal because that's a beautiful complex with lots of different remedies in. You know, and or supporting the tissue salts are amazing for supporting gum health and bone health, or, you know, when children are going to go through orthodontic treatment, is supporting that bone movement and remodeling, or even just, you know, growth spurts when everything's moving and changing. And I, you know, so it just fits so well. There's no reason to be either or. You know, we can include it really, really well.
That's what makes it so beautifully complementary. I mean, that, and it's also testament to the versatility of homeopathy, right? It can be standalone, which it is in many, many parts of the world. It can be supportive. It can be complementary. You know, it's just wonderful. Especially you mentioned with acutes, you know, it's the magic that happens as far as healing is concerned with acutes is phenomenal. It just, we've seen so many cases, haven't we, Nyla, where people will have had serious conditions, you know, where they've gone into possibly hospital and they're receiving, you know, general care, of course, but you give the homeopathy and everything just improves and accelerates to healing so fast, you know?
Yeah.
It's just amazing to witness that.
Samantha, I would like, as a person who treats patients differently as a homeopath, I see something totally different than what you see day in, day out. Can you walk us through one of your appointments where you use homeopathy alongside your treatment?
I suppose the most treatments that I personally do in my practice, I do a lot of hygiene treatments and managing gum disease. So walking them through, and a lot of my new patients come to me because I offer homeopathy. And actually, it's not because they necessarily want me to give them homeopathy. Most of my patients actually see a homeopath. And so it's working as a team alongside, the homeopaths that are treating them and managing them. So a lot of the patients actually just want me to be open-minded and understand what choices they're making. And it's great because if they're seeing a homeopath, then I quite like to ask them what remedy they've taken, and it gives a great insight into who they are. One of my patients, I asked her, and her homeopath said, she said that her homeopath had given her tarantula. And this woman, very, very highly energetic. And actually, it was great because actually, then I had to take her, I had to do some work on her. And it's like, well, actually, would you like to listen to music? And she said, oh, yes, I'd love to listen to drumming, of course, because it's tarantula. So actually, we just put some drumming music on in the background. And so even though I wasn't giving her a homeopathic remedy, I was feeding into, what a homeopath is seeing. So actually, so what I do is a lot of acute remedies alongside it. So say I've got a patient and they're coming in for me for hygiene, is that hygiene is, especially if I'm cleaning really deeply underneath the gums, it's not necessarily a comfortable procedure. But most people manage without anaesthetic, so it's not that I need to give them local anaesthetic or even a gel on their gums. But if I just put some drops of Tormeil onto their tongue, it's amazing how you can almost just see them take that breath and they just relax and everything slows down. And then I can give them a clean and they're fine afterwards. Another one that I use homeopathy for the most is when I'm taking teeth out. And again, I'll use homeopathy. I'll use a Tormeil onto the drops of the tongue, and I'll tell them to take arnica afterwards. But another really lovely remedy that I often use, especially if somebody's a bit reluctant to lose a tooth, sometimes we just have to take the tooth out, is a remedy called Emerald, which is the gem remedy. And the keynote of this is letting go. So I give them the Tormeil and I give them Emerald 30C just onto the tongue before we do anything. And it's amazing how their body physically releases the tooth, which means that I can just gently tease it out, lift it out. And because mentally and physically they're ready to let go of the tooth, it just makes my lo life a lot easier. And they heal up so well afterwards. So in one of my bugbears is the number of medications that my patients are on, for the doctors, and the list gets longer and longer, and all of these things have effects on the mouth, and it causes havoc with the bone and it causes havoc with bleeding, and of course I can use the homeopathy alongside, their 10, 13, 15 different medications. And it just makes getting teeth out much easier, much better for the patient, and they heal much better afterwards as well.
There is one of the most invasive procedures is root canal. And I know myself personally that patients have presented themselves with potentially some conditions and side effects as a result of root canals. But this is again where homeopathy comes in, isn't it, Nyla? It works so profoundly well, like a dose of arnica or hypericum before and after,
That's what I because before going into all those details, let's stay with root canal. Person coming in, how do you do that as a homeopath and a dentist?
And if it's appropriate, I will do the root canal. They're very tricky procedures and they do take a long time to do properly. It's also one of those things that actually there's loads of people, including a very good friend, that just loves to do root canals. They have all the big equipment, they've got this huge microscope, which he's completely in love with, and he loves going and exploring those little canals. So if it looks complicated at all, I will send them to a specialist because then they're getting the best job possible. So I know my limits when it comes to root canals. But I will be honest with the patient whether I think it's worth doing or not. You know, if there's a, I give them odds, and if there are cracks and things in the tooth, then there's no point in going through it. And I do tell them that they are very, very complex. Our teeth are beautiful systems. So one thing I describe is a tooth. The tip of the tooth, where the root then comes from the body into the tooth, looks like the delta of the Nile. So they spread out like this, and we've got loads and loads of little, canals into the tooth, which you can't possibly clean because they're so tiny. But we can support it with homeopathy. So if I've got to do a root canal, or they've got to have a root canal with a specialist or with my husband or whatever, is we can support it with homeopathy. So it might be that they've got an abscess, and of course they've got the pain and the swelling and the throbbing, and of course then it's belladonna, or it might be apis depending on what symptoms. So that is dentists are actually generally quite good at getting all the little details off patients anyway, that as homeopaths are our bread and butter, just because it's a good way of getting information about exactly what's going on with the patient, being able to make a diagnosis. It's like if they've got an abscess, then it's going to be belladonna. And then I love following it up with Heparsulf. And the beauty of Heparsulf is it just works differently in different potencies. So, if they've got that swelling and it's just not draining, then obviously I use a 6C until it's draining, and then we move on to a 30C. And the 30C in Heparsulf just works beautifully alongside when we're doing the treatment. And then if they still need it, mopping up afterwards, then I might follow it with silica. So the beauty of homeopathy is you can put it alongside a procedure that is very complex, and has got no guarantee that it will work. Unfortunately, with root canals, is you are looking at a dead tooth, and eventually it does have to come out, whether it's now or whether it's in 20 or 30 years' time. So, but we can support trying to maintain that tooth in the mouth for as long as possible. So I know there's a lot of bad press about root fillings, and there's that film called The Root Cause, which has some good points in it, but it's also very, very biased. It's a bit sensationalization of, and sometimes we have got to do a root canal, and it's the best option. So.
If now just keeping it in perspective, if a patient comes to you, that there is no hope left for the tooth, either the other option is root canal or taking the tooth out. What is, because this is a question that is asked in homeopathy community and on Facebook and everywhere so often, what is a better option from these two?
It's a really difficult question. There's
Sorry.
no right or wrong answer. It really, really depends on the individual, which of course is the beauty of homeopathy, is it's completely individualized. There's so many factors. If somebody's got a really suppressed immune system and they're really, really not very well, we could put a beautiful root canal in there and it still won't work, just because the body's not got that ability to recover from it. And likewise, we could have a really, really healthy person, and actually the root canal is the best option. And also we've got to look at function of the mouth as well. And if they've already lost a few teeth, then we've got to try and give them all the options to try and keep as many teeth as possible. And also if it's a front tooth, that's a big thing for patients to lose a front tooth. I mean, sometimes we have to, but I do my best to try and make sure they've not got a gap at any point. But it's a really difficult one, and there's no straight answer, I'm afraid. So
My apologies.
I don't have the magic,
No, it's just like
pill.
people, there is quite a lot of people come and say, this is like a common thread. I had a dental treatment, I had root canal done, and this has happened afterwards. This and this has happened afterwards. This is like a very common occurrence that we see in our practices. That's why the question was there, because our mouth, as you also say or see every day, has a lot to tell us about who we are. So why are people so impacted by any procedure done in the mouth.
Some of it's lack of control. So you're lying supine with somebody with sharp instruments at your head end. And even though it's all done by consent and they come and lie in the chair, it's not really the
Silica. Is
distress
someone silica?
thing. Yeah. So, but again, homeopathy can help with that. I mean, I give loads of remedies for anxiety. I love it when I go and get a patient from the waiting room and they've gone to the loo. It's like, oh yeah, Jalsemium. But I mean, so we can help with that. But I mean, it is that trying, having to trust somebody with the mouth, and of course, you've not got control. So it's giving up that trust. So you've got to trust your dentist. So there's that as well. But what were we talking about? I was talking about, have I gone off on a tangent?
Yeah,
No,
well,
no, no. That's fine.
how the mouth or the treatment
Oh,
in the mouth
yes.
impacts the whole persona, because that's
That's,
when they come
yeah.
back. I recently had a case as well, like all the symptoms started coming back after a treatment in the mouth.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose some of it's also that the mouth is the most highly innervated part of the body. We've got the most number of nerves. Everything is very sensitive in the mouth. But also socially, we do judge people by what their teeth look like. And it has been proved that actually even getting a job is if you've got, a ray of sort of blackened teeth and missing gaps, it is something that as humans we subconsciously do. And smiling at people is so important. I mean, you can walk down the street and you can smile to a complete stranger, and there's a high chance that they will smile back. So it is all part of our human interaction and our sociability. We are herd animals, really, aren't we? And we need that social connectivity. So, that our mouth and our smile and our confidence of being able to smile and not try and show our teeth is so important. So we've got to trust somebody with it's part of our personality.
It's interesting you mentioned the nerves and how sensitive that ear is, but it truly is, and it can be quite daunting. That's why many people don't go to the dentist, you could say, because of that whole thing of, even though for you it's an instrument, and I don't know, let's say you're just going for a clean, but you can so feel, you can hear it and you can feel it, and then the slightest, vibration, and it's like, oh, when actually it's nothing, but it's the fear of it, isn't it, of it happening.
Yeah, it is a fear. It's yeah, and the sound, but also we've got the smell of the surgery as well, because we use a lot of clove oil in some of our materials, so it's that smell that lots of people associate, or the cleaning fluids, because everything has to be pristinely clean. So, it's like the bleachy smells mixed with the clove oil. You've got the sounds. Also, it's all very clinical. Everything's very white and a bit stark. So there's loads of things that I can't change just because of the nature of being in a dental surgery. So there's all these things we're bombarded with our senses. This just adds to all of the adrenaline that goes round when people come and visit their dentist.
And do you use any remedy if someone, apart from Tramiel, if you see someone is very anxious? Like, I know someone who is very anxious, they won't go to see a dentist. Can you give them something beforehand so they feel calm and relaxed?
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong? I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity. Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, aconite's a great one for that adrenaline response. But I mean, I see loads of gel samium. Like I said, they go to the toilet when I'm ready to bring them in. And you can see them shaking a little bit and they can't talk to you. And then the other end of the scale is that definitely the kefir cruders, who are talkative and everything is too much. The noise is too much. The light's too much. And they talk so much. Yeah, I've had a few lachesis as well, where, you know, they look as though they're sort of chilled. They're eyeing you up. We've got the eye contact, and they're very loquacious. They talk and talk and talk. You can't actually get into their mouth because they're too busy talking. And then it's like, I know what you need.
Go see a homeopath.
Yeah,
and tell them, or you need a remedy from starting with L.
I have these remedies ready to go.
I'm telling my listeners. So if you are scared of going to see a dentist, aconite and gel samium, put it in your pocket and try it one after another.
And give it to everybody else in the waiting room.
Yeah, absolutely. I use a lot of rescue remedy as well.
Oh, rescue remedy is amazing.
It is. I actually, we have a tin of the rescue remedy pastels at the reception desk, so that whoever's on reception, if they think a patient might need it, they can offer it.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a wonderful way of doing it, actually. You're just getting a pastels. Yeah, remedy.
You come to the dentist, you're getting a sweetie.
You're getting a sweetie.
Yeah, go figure.
That if it were my children, they would say, I'm just going to see that dentist.
Yes.
They give sweeties and they give sugar pills.
Yeah, that's right.
Luxury, eh?
Another question. Like, even though I can now make up from what you have said, but which remedies tend to become your regular visitors in a homeopathic dental clinic?
I don't know that there's quite a lot. I mean, one beautiful thing about dentistry that is very unique to the healthcare setting is actually most of my patients I see every 6 months to 12 months. So I know them really, really well. So actually, most of my job is actually just talking to people, and we talk about what their grandchildren are doing. We talk about their jobs. I've got some amazing patients that do incredible engineering stuff, and teachers, and, you know, everything from cleaning ladies to, I don't know, one of our patients worked on the probe to Mars, for example. So we've got all these amazing patients, and actually, I get to know them quite well, and that's really helpful as a homeopath, because it means that if they do need a remedy, I can have a really good guess at you know, what they are. So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a pattern of different remedies coming in. But the beauty is that I can, you know, actually homeopathy's just gives me this lovely, you know, these psychological profiles that I could sort of pin to people, which is really great.
Thinking, sorry to cut you, but I'm just thinking, like, for example, if a family comes to you, do you see a pattern of these remedies have more dental issues in relation to the other remedies? Or is it just like rather acute situations where you are? I'm just trying, like, for example, if pulsatilla, silica, or are more prone, like, we know creosotum will have more tooth issues. I'm just was thinking in that relation.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, lots of the remedies have got a lot of mouth rubrics. So, I mean, for example, thinking of Nat Muir, of course, I see those with the people that get the cold sores all the time, especially sort of in spring and when the sun shines out. So, I definitely see a pattern of them. Of course, they're more prone to getting ulcers and dry mouth. And when they come in, of course, they're quite, they don't give their personalities across that well. And there's definitely a load that are sort of arsenicum, so they're a bit suspicious of, they're certainly, your healthcare, you're the enemy. I don't trust you, you're going to poison me. And of course, they get loads of ulcers and they get burning mouth and all sorts of things like that. So I wouldn't say it's definitely a pattern that definitely comes to the dentist, but you definitely see patterns in people, especially as you get to know them.
Yeah, of course. It's do you find you're using it with every patient, or really just depends? It depends, isn't it, on the procedures and
It depends. Because a lot of my patients, we've had the practice for 19 years, and it's been a practice since 1976. We bought it, 19 years ago. So actually, loads of these patients have been seen at the same practice for generations, and there are definitely a load of patients that I wouldn't suggest homeopathy to them because they wouldn't be open to it. But actually, it's amazing because Oxfordshire, we have a lot of farmland. Of course, we've got Clarkson's Farm not that far away as well. So lots of our patients are farmers, and it's really interesting because the farmers are really, really open to homeopathy. And it's amazing how many of them use it themselves or on their animals as well. So I might think, oh, maybe they might not be interested in homeopathy, and then I offer it and they go, oh yeah, I use that with my vet, and actually I use homeopathy at home for, bruising and things like that. So, and also loads of people have horses as well, and they all use arnica on their horses. And so I say, oh, take Tramiol. I've got a lovely mother and daughter that I see who have horses and small holding, and they're full of energy, and they love the homeopathy, and I always give them Tramiol, and they always take their rescue remedy, and they even give rescue remedy to their dogs and their horses. So
Yay.
actually, as a community, when you start talking to people and you say, oh, about homeopathy, it's like amazing how many people already use it. It's great.
Amazing. You mentioned that you use tissue salts, etc., for supporting the teeth. Can you tell our listeners how can homeopathy help during teething, teeth development, teeth health?
Yeah, I mean, so teething, it's usually chamomilla. So lots of my patients that come in with the baby and they've got the one red cheek and they're miserable is chamomilla. But I mean, there's loads of other remedies. So I use different remedies with both of my boys when they were teething. So my eldest did really, really well on Pulsatilla because he just wanted to be held and he was a bit weaker. Yeah. he's got blue eyes and blonde, well, I used to have blonde hair. And then my youngest, he just, drooled over everything and had this horrid rash, and he did, and green nappies. So he did really well on Merksol, and then later chamomilla as he got more angry. So it's great because I can give them advice on that. And then there's a health food shop in town, so that I have all the basic remedies, so it's easy for them to get them if I've not got them in my surgery. But actually, as they get into teenagers, then they start to look at orthodontics, or they get growing pains, or teeth aren't shifting. And then, of course, if teeth aren't coming through at the time that they should do, then you can give calc carb. It's that slow dentition, just where everything's just delayed and a bit sluggish. So a few of my patients have done well on that. And then calc fos and calc floor are great for supporting the bone. So especially if they're doing orthodontic treatment, it can ache quite a lot. It can be quite painful. So I encourage them to take those tissue salts. But they help all the way through. So, adults, lots of my adults, or I see them because they've got more serious gum problems. And of course, they're losing the bone around their teeth. And if they're doing everything they can, they're brushing their teeth beautifully, they've got a good diet, they're looking after themselves. And then the tissue salts, especially still calc fos and calc fluor, sometimes I'll add in some Phytum, is just supporting the bone. It's not necessarily growing back, but at least then we can keep things stable and it doesn't
Yeah,
get worse.
absolutely. It can be so,
Wonderful.
so helpful when they know that something can be supported.
Yeah.
So much versatility, isn't it? Do you
Absolutely.
are you in touch with other dentists who are pro homeopathy?
Yeah, so being chairperson of the British Homeopathic Dental Association, I manage the website and there's a small list of dentists who use homeopathy. So some of them might only just use arnica and some of them have got their membership of the Faculty of Homeopathy and they can do much more complex things. So I do have a small list, but unfortunately we're literally dying out, that so there's not the younger dentists coming in. But actually it's nice as NCIM because we actually have dental specific content on our course because I'm the lead tutor. So it's great because actually in the last year or so we've had a few dentists who are showing interest and hygienists as well who are showing interest in using homeopathy alongside the dental practice. And actually some of them have used homeopathy or they've been brought up with homeopathy and they didn't realize that they could use it alongside inside their dentistry.
Amazing.
And the great thing about dentistry is that we obviously have to be registered with the General Dental Council and alongside, we have to have indemnity so that we're insured if patients make a complaint about us. And actually they don't really understand what homeopathy is, but they're willing to support it because we're not doing anything unusual with our dentistry. And patients don't, I mean, they might have a whinge, but they don't really go. They don't complain about homeopathy because actually, the beauty of even just doing a homeopathic consultation is that the person feels listened to. How often do they go to their doctor and they say, "Well, I only had a few minutes with my doctor and I don't really think that they understood what I was saying." And actually, as homeopaths, we listen to them. So hopefully that means that they're less likely to complain. But like I said, I'm not doing anything unusual with my dentistry. It's just adding in the homeopathy on top.
Wonderful.
There is an I think there is another type of dentist, a holistic dentist. I'm not sure. There's a name that I can't just now think of, who
Yeah,
do
there's.
different procedures as well for the or different
Yeah.
materials. I'm not sure. Do you know what?
So there's different materials. So, for example, the white filling material that we use, I'm very picky about what materials. I know what works well in my hands. So I have a material, but it does have small amounts of bisphenol A in. And so I do have patients who would prefer filling material that doesn't have that in. So I do have that in my drawer and they can ask me for that. Or if I think that they're that way inclined, then I'll offer them that material over the other material.
Which material is that?
The one I use is made by a company called Voco, which is called Admira Fusion. There are some others on the market. I think there's one called Venus Pearl and there's another one and I can't remember the name, but that the Admira Fusion is the one that I use. So it's not actually hugely expensive. It's a similar price to the other stuff as well. I don't find it quite as strong as the stuff that I use normally, but obviously it's giving patients choice about what's going on in their mouth.
So is one material better than the other one?
I think the material I use is better. I know how it handles. So, we're looking at, fine build-ups and artistry. I want to be able to look at a filling and going, I did that one. That was nice. So there's a little bit of professional pride there. But I mean, the Admira Fusion, I quite like. I just prefer the other material if if the patient's happy to go for that one. That
Because
comes down to the pure dentist in me rather than the homeopath.
it's been a delight to have you on the show, of course.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We, of course, are going to stay well connected. And yes, yeah, it we are at the end of this episode, but it's just been so good. Thank you.
Great. It's great talking to you.
Yeah, and keep smiling. Yes.
Smile.
Lovely
Smile at
meeting you.
strangers in the street. See if they smile back.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautifully said. And smile at your dentist and tell your dentist they might need to consider homeopathy.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to
Yeah.
look up NCIM and they need to come on my course.
Yay. Thank you, Samantha, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thanks.
everyone, for listening.
And we will see you next week with another splendid guest. So have a beautiful week and talk to you very, very soon. I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.